The price of my love is not a price that you're willing to pay. You cry in your tea, which you hurl in the sea when you see me go
back
by.
On downtown, it's 4:32 here on a Monday. Why am I playing music from Hamilton? Well, I'm thinking about Chad Finn and remembering that we both share a fondness for Hamilton. Hello there, Chad.
Hey, Rich, how are you? We sure do.
I haven't heard that in a while, so it was nice to revisit it a bit.
Yeah, that was that on Disney Plus during the pandemic? I remember watching that 10 times to my kids.
Absolutely. That's what got me through that pandemic summer, was watching that.
Yeah. Yeah, it still pops up on my iTunes playlist and things like that from every now and then. What a masterpiece.
Absolutely. Now, have you ever seen it in person?
No, we actually had tickets, and my daughter got sick as we were going to go. The four of us were going to go. So we sold them and planning to buy them again, but we never got around to it. So hopefully, I'm sure we will, but it'll be like the 50th iteation of the cast by the time we do.
Right. It's about the time I'll see it, too. Well, it's a springtime Monday. Normally, we'd be talking Red Sox this time of year, but the more enjoyable story is those Boston Celtics who just, man, keep rolling on. 52 wins now, and heck, half the time it's not even close.
Yeah, it's not even close. I mean, what have they dropped, 80 in the first half three times now since the All-Star break? One of the things they've done that I don't think gets a lot of notice is how they continue to play at an extremely high level, even when the lineup is altered on a given night. You know, they've been resting guys. Porzingis has been in and out, and Jalen will get a day, or you know, Derek White got one yesterday. Drew's getting one tonight, and they don't really seem to skip a beat, whether it's Sam Hauser in the starting lineup or Pritchard or whatever starting five they put out there. I think a big part of that is the fact that you have Al Horford, who nobody ever talks about, like as the sixth man. They think of the Celtics almost as having a starting six, and that you have Al Horford to kind of plug in whenever one of your starters out. But just one of the many exceptional things that this team is achieving is that they just play at that level every night, no matter who's there.
And how much credit should Brad Stevens get for putting this group together?
All of it. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of Danny Ainge is a better general manager than Dan Duquette, but for their respective sports. But Dan Duquette was the guy who brought the stars to the Red Sox, whether it was drafting Nomar, making the brilliant Pedro trade, signing Johnny Damon, signing Maynard Ramirez when they missed out on Mike Mussina. But what he really struggled with was he didn't even throw resources at it. He did not bring in those mid-tier players who are going to fit really well with what you have. And not even mid-tier, but maybe a little bit higher than that. He always had the reclamation project starting pitcher behind Pedro, the Saberhagen, Ramon Martinez. He didn't go out getting the Bill Millers and Kevin Millars and guys like that. And what Brad Stevens has done, and these guys are at a higher level than the Red Sox players I just mentioned, but he's gone out and complimented Jalen and Jason Tatum with Drew Holiday, who's just an extraordinary all-around player and has this remarkable ability to do whatever you ask him to do. And Derek White, who Brad targeted and recognized, and really only San Antonio knew what he was and what he could be, and brought him in here, and he's flourished under Joe Mazzulla. Just identifying the guys who are the right fit to complement the two players that you knew were going to be your stars for a long time. It's an exceptional job of building a team.
And I feel like it shows a good understanding of the New England sports fan mentality as well, because they've got to have the talent first and foremost. But New England fans love those guys who look like they're working hard, who look like they care.
Yeah, and I think that's where Porzingis has been a huge surprise to people, because he always had kind of this reputation as being about his stats and stoic, you know, maybe a little bit selfish. And clearly, either he's changed or that was not fair at all. Because this guy's come in here, and you always talk about how he's always happy and smiling, and you'd think that maybe that's a little corny. It's 100% true. He sits there during the games, And if fans yell at him, he turns around and gives them like a fist in the air or a smile. I've never seen anybody do that. He signs autographs forever before the game, which, you know, it's usually the end of the bench guys that do that. It's just wild to see how he's been the perfect fit here, not only in terms of the extra element that he brings to their team, but just his joy after playing in Dallas and then Washington of being in a spot where not only was the team outstanding, but the fans really care. I mean, the Garden's a great basketball experience for anybody at this point.
Chad Finn with us here on Downtown. Are we ready for the Jacoby Brissett era in New England?
I hope so, because I think they're picking a rookie quarterback here, whether it's May or Daniels, that you'd be doing damage to play him right away, particularly May. It seems like that's who they're going to end up with. If you look at, like, the betting lines, most of them really favor Daniels going to the Commanders. I don't know if that's because they signed Marcus Mariota and they figure out they're going to draft a really mobile quarterback because they just signed one to be his backup. I don't know, but it seems that's the way this is going. And you know, May's 2 years younger than Daniels. You listen to the people like Dan Orlovsky on ESPN, and they say he's a fantastic talent. They make the Justin Herbert comparison, but he's got a lot to learn and needs to process better. And putting him out there behind an offensive line that wasn't very good last year, with marginal wide receivers, at least until you assume they'll pick one in the draft in the second or third round, that would not be doing him favors. So Brissett should play right away, and he's absolutely ideal for the role they're asking him to do, to come in here, play a little bit, teach what he knows. One of the best regarded teammates they've had in Foxborough in the last 25 years. So I think they got really fortunate that he decided to come here and mentor their next starting quarterback.
You wrote about it. What were your thoughts? Any big surprises in the final episode of The Dynasty?
My big takeaway from it, because so many people have been complaining that it's a hatchet job on Belichick, and I don't really think of it that way. I assumed that Kraft was going to do this, that he was going to. He's got a problem with it being Belichick and Brady. He wants everybody to think of it as Belichick and Brady and Kraft, and you can kind of understand that. And so he wants the credit for keeping these guys together, winning that 2018 Super Bowl when the relationship was already fractured. But in this documentary, it's not really him that says the most damning things about Belichick and the way things went the last couple of years. It's the Matthew Slaters and the Devin McCourts. Mm. Matthew Slater talking about having Brady coming to him to talk to Belichick because they weren't talking, things like that. And when you hear McCourty and Slater talk about how the locker room really had a problem with the word they use is hypocrisy, with Belichick writing that letter to Trump and things like that, you realize that what they're saying is real. It really went off the rails, and it's not a hatchet job on Belichick. It's the truth, while the owner is also simultaneously trying to polish his own image with the fans, which is totally backfiring.
And I wondered if some of that explains why Bill Belichick is not coaching anywhere next year.
Yeah, it could be. I still think he's going to end up back in the league as a head coach after, doing TV for a year here. I kind of predicted that he's going to end up with Manning, and I think that still happens, that he goes to Omaha Productions, does something with Saban, does something where he goes to talk to people that interest him, and does something like Peyton's Places or Sue Bird's thing that she does, and then comes back to coaching in a year. And, Jerry Jones is going to have an eye on him all year. Other teams were Nick Sirianni, if it goes off the rails early for the Eagles like he did late last year. Jeffrey Lurie might look Belichick's way. So he's going to have options, I think. And I think the TV thing will serve him pretty well for a year away, keeping him the mind's eye of everybody, and also showing that he actually has a personality.
Speaking of TV series, do you know any more about this Netflix series that'll feature the Red Sox?
They got to be regretting it, don't they, after seeing how Dynasty went?
Yeah.
They've been around Fort Myers. I mean, you can't go anywhere, especially a couple weeks ago down there, without you know, cameras and the whole crew around people. Supposedly it's behind the scenes, and you're going to find a lot of things you didn't know. But, you know, we'll see how the season goes before we can have a sense for how this documentary is going to turn out. But I don't think Red Sox fans are very optimistic about either thing.
It's going to be an interesting NCAA basketball tournament this year. We already knew no Jim Nance, but now the news yesterday about Greg Gumbel.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see that. Well, what's the Greg Gumbel news?
Family sick? Yeah, he's got some family issues. He wasn't on the selection show yesterday, and I read earlier this afternoon that it sounds like he won't be involved at all in the tournament broadcasts.
Yeah, he did a thing a couple weeks ago. It was an NFL Today thing talking about how there's a documentary out that they showed during the Super Bowl. So I guess it's more than a couple weeks now, but he was on that and talked about how he probably was going to be laying pretty low. So I don't think this was a big surprise. And he looks a little bit older himself. It was kind of noticeable. So yeah, he's been so involved and so attached to that forever that it's kind of strange to not see him around. But and on the opposite side of that, with the game broadcast, I think everybody's looking forward to Ian Eagle doing it. He's kind of been excellent and underrated for quite a while now. He's been the number two football team there, CBS, for a long time, and everybody always said, oh, he ought to be the number one guy. And it's good to see him getting this opportunity because he's one of those guys that calls a great game and also has a sense of humor about everything. You usually don't get both of those things with the number one announcers.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us. Chad, we thank you as always. Hope you have a great rest of your Monday and week, and we'll visit with you again before too long.
All right, Maine over Ohio State, right?
Absolutely, and Maine over BU in hockey. It's all planned out.
That's right. I'm jumping on to cover that if they if they advance a little further. So
excellent.
Keep going here.
We'll look forward to it. Thanks, Chad.
All right, take care, Rich.
Chad Finn of the Boston Globe with us here on Downtown.